Chapter 4, Auschwitz. Structure of the legend. We now consider the specific Auschwitz extermination story that we are offered. The trials that generated the evidence on which the extermination claims are based took place in a prostrate, starving Germany whose people were in no position to do anything but that which the occupying powers wished. This was the political reality of the situation. By the record, the Zionist International organized the specific extermination claims that were made, which were given no credence by high and knowledgeable Washington officials. The leading personality in setting up the legal system of the war crimes trials was none other than the American prosecutor at the IMT trial. At that trial, the judges had previously expressed themselves on the obvious guilt of the defendants, and the findings of the trial were formal legal constraints on subsequent trials. The most important of the subsequent trials were those organized by the arch-Zionist David Marcus, future hero of Israel, and then head of the U.S. War Crimes Branch, an agency that had engaged in torture of witnesses in connection with certain trials. The quote-unquote honor of the states conducting the trials was committed to the thesis of extraordinary Nazi brutality. Under such conditions, it is difficult to see how one could fail to expect a frame-up. This and the following chapter shows that the Auschwitz charges are what one should expect. It must first be asked, what is the essential attribute, the trademark of a hoax on this scale? No sane author of such a thing would present a story which is untrue in every or in most details. 99% valid fact can be present in a story whose major claim has no truth whatever to it, and recognition of this leads the author of the hoax to the maximally safe approach to his deed, distort the meaning of valid facts. This is the basic structure of the Auschwitz extermination legend. It is shown here that every real fact contained in the story had, not could have had, but had, a relatively routine significance, having nothing to do with exterminations of people. Thus, those who claim extermination must advance a thesis involving a dual interpretation of the facts, but by then the impartial reader, in consideration of what has just been noted, should be on my side. The need for a dual interpretation of fact, the trademark of the hoax, has emerged. Another trademark, not so obvious at this point, will be suggested by the analysis. Also, facts which contradict the extermination claims will be noted, and for those who still believe the claims, these facts are mysteries. The inconsistencies and implausibilities and obvious lies will appear, and finally the crushing blow, a fact contradicting the claims, so huge in significance that there can be no mumbling about quote-unquote mysteries.